On this week's golf special, Off the Score, we are live at the Irish Legends at the Rossapenna Hotel and Golf Resort in Downings. The European Legends Tour Irish Legends event is here after a year's delay due to COVID. We've seen the first day of action today with the Pro-Am. The competition proper, of course, with round one gets underway tomorrow morning. Tonight on the programme, I'll be joined by Legends host Paul McGinley, director at Rossapenna, John Casey, and Rossapenna Club president, Father Charlie Byrne. And as we said, it is Pro-Am day. We've been speaking to Liverpool legend Robbie Fowler, former Dublin manager Jim Gavin, Donegal captain Michael Murphy, and Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council Jack Murray. It's all to come on a Score special tonight, live on Highland from Rossapenna Golf Club. And we have had a fantastic opening day with the Pro-Am, which took place this afternoon. There was two Pro-Am competitions. The second one had all the big names and all the celebrities. We did, of course, have the professionals who teed off this afternoon. There's former world number ones, Ryder Cup captains, major winners, all in the mix today, the likes of Barry Lane, Mark James, Thomas Bjorn, Ian Woosden, Paul Lawrie, Mr. Paul McGinley himself. We're all out on the course today with a number of celebrities mixed from the sporting world, the world of television, and we had, of course, our very own Daniel O'Donnell as well. Let's just check in to see how things finished up on the Pro-Am before we hear from Paul. Former Dublin manager, Jim Gavin. He was handy at Gaelic football as a player and a manager, and I'll tell you what, he's handy at golf as well. He has won the individual competition in the Celebrity Pro-Am, finishing up on a score of 44 points today, finishing two ahead of Keith Wood, former Irish international, on 42 points. Hurler Joe Canning finished up with 41 and third. Another rugby man, David Humphreys, the Ulster and Ireland legend, he scored 39 points to finish fourth. And Georgie Bingham is the Sky Sports presenter. She finished on 38 points in a fifth position. She had an excellent round today. And Robbie Fowler, who we'll hear from shortly, when we spoke to him, it looked like he was actually going to win the event on 44 points, but there was a wee glitch along the way somewhere. They corrected a score, and the Liverpool legend ending up with 36 points and finishing in sixth position. As for the team competition, Ronnie Whelan, another Liverpool man, has been here before, and he finished up on the winning team. Former British Open champion, major winner, of course, Paul Lawrie from Scotland. He was leading out the team with Ronnie Whelan. Alan Hansen and Janet Hansen was on that team as well. They finished on a total of 105 to win the celebrity team event. Peter Fowler finished in second. His team was made up of David Humphreys, Seamus Hopkins and Matthew Coy. And then in a tie for third, Jim Gavin, who was alongside Jack Murray, Joseph Carlin, and leading out the team, James Kingston, while Philip Golding's team of Joe Canning, Gary Ross and Mark Catton also finished in a tie for a third. We'll be getting a reaction from people involved in the Pro-Am shortly, but Paul McGinley, of course, has been waiting a year to get this event here to Rossapenna. It was cancelled last year because of COVID. It was then moved to this year. It's going to be the first of 2 years. Fingers crossed, we'll have the full Festival of Golf with everything that comes with it next year in 2022. But here in 2021, it's been a sort of scaled down version. Unfortunately, no spectators allowed in to watch the event, but they're going through it as best they can. And fair dues to Paul and those involved. They were able to bring some of the top names here and get some of the top celebrities involved as well. Earlier today, before he headed out on course, I caught up with him as we talked about the legends and the Pro-Am and, of course, where golf is at the moment in the county of Donegal. Paul, it's good to see you. It's day one. It's an exciting day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were meant to be here, obviously, this time last year, and COVID put an end to that, so we're just delighted to make it. Yes, we've got a lot of protocols and restrictions in place, but nonetheless, we're delighted that we're up and running.
Yeah, and day one is a big day. We've got a lot of famous people about here, so we have a lot of top quality golfers as well, and it's going to be a very, very interesting afternoon, sort of.
Yeah, we've got a lot of recognised names from a professional point of view that people will know, and obviously lots of celebrities. Today is a celebrity Pro-Am. The Stacia Tour now have got a new, the Legends Tour as it's called, has got a new initiative going on with celebrities playing in the Pro-Ams and mixing up celebrities, businessmen and professional golfers all together, and that's what we got today. We got some big names from the world of sport in particular, and also entertainment, and of course, how could you have anything in Donegal without Daniel O'Donnell? Yeah. So we got the great Daniel coming here too.
Were you a Liverpool fan, were you?
No, I'm a West Ham fan.
Yeah. There's enough Liverpool men around here today.
Oh, everywhere I look, Liverpool. Alan Hansen is here and Ronnie Whelan is here. Robbie Fowler is here. I'm seeing lots of Liverpool everywhere. But I'm West Ham. Yeah. Trevor Brooking is my hero.
Right. And they're all good golfers then, boys.
They're all very good golfers and they're all very keen. Mm. And great company too. Niall Quinn is here as well. Yeah. And, you meet a lot of them over the years in various ways and roles. And I can honestly say every one of them is a pleasure to be around and so humble of all the success that they've had. And great company and great crack and great stories. The Irish lads, particularly the Jack Shelton stories, Niall Quinn will have you in fits of laughter telling you some of the stories that they got up to with Jack and the success that they had. So you love hearing that, the Irish folklore stories. They're going to grow, like most stories do in time, they're going to grow.
Yeah. Listen, this event has been built around the Ryder Cup, which is on the way from Adair Manor in a number of years' time. But you've got some fantastic names here. Obviously, you are a winning Ryder Cup captain. Thomas Bjorn is here, Ian Woosnam, Paul Laurie, the list goes on. Ryder Cup men, number ones, major winners. And given the restrictions that you talked about at the start, it's fantastic that these people have committed to come here, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. It's tremendous to make. And we all know it's difficult to get to Donegal. It's difficult to get to the top left-hand corner here. There's no two ways around it. You've got to go to, internationally, you've either got to go into Belfast or into Dublin. So it's great that they've made that effort. Mark James, another ex-Ryder Cup captain as well, who's here. And as I say, a lot of recognised names. And we're very proud to have them and welcome to have them. And a big GA man here as well, too. And Jim Gavin, he'll be popular this week with people looking for an opinion on who's going to win the All-Ireland. So it's a mixture of everything and all kinds of people. And as I say, we're delighted to have them. And I'm delighted personally to be promoting Donegal on the international stage.
Have you got over the disappointment of Saturday yet, losing to Mayo?
Oh, yeah. Well, you say yous. I'm a bit of a Donegal man, I remember. There's a big debate in my family. My brother is squarely in the Dublin camp, but I'm probably hedging a bit more towards Donegal than the Dubs.
Listen, you mentioned showcasing Donegal and how fantastic an area this is for golf. You played Port Nguyen Monday, new course down there as well. What was that experience like?
Tremendous. Yeah, I know Liam McDevitt very well from my times in America. I've met him over the years. Lovely man, superman. Great to see what he's doing for the local community there. And, the millions and millions of dollars that he's invested into that golf course. For people who mightn't recognise or know it, in the world of golf around the world at the moment, probably the best two designers and an artist, if you want to compare it to artists at the moment, the hottest two artists at the moment, creative artists in terms of golf design, are Ben Crenshaw and a fellow called Gil Hans. And Gil Hans's trajectory, career path, has really escalated in the last 4 or 5 years since he did Port New. So you go to any golf course or anybody who plays golf in America and say, oh, I'm going to play a Gil Hans course in a place called Donegal. They say, oh, really, Gil Hans, I must go and play that. That's how big his name is. And the fact that he's come here and done a golf course in Donegal can only be great. Just like Tom Doak has done St. Patrick's up the road here. So all those kind of things are building Donegal as a golfing destination.
Yep. And in relation to what you will be playing over the weekend here, the Tom Morris course. I know you really like the back nine down through the valley. Listen, that's another top drawer course, so it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Particularly that nine holes. I mean, the history of those nine holes. It would grace an Open Championship. It's that good. The condition here, Chris has done an amazing job with the conditioning, and everybody is loving it. And all the players who've played the best links courses and Open Championships around the world, and Paul Laurie, who's here, who was a former Open champion, said. They're all just loving that back nine in particular. And it's going to be a great finish with two par fives in the last three holes. So fingers crossed for the weather. That's our biggest worry at this stage. Everything else is in place. So weather has been a little bit in and out, and that's unfortunate. But however, we got to deal with it.
You got to deal with just whatever card is presented. You just have to go with it. In relation to that back nine, a couple of the guys said to me this morning, 13 and 14 are the big holes, the exciting holes. Is that correct?
Well, 13 particularly, I think that's as good a hole as you see anywhere. They all are. I mean, they've all got such character. That's what I love about them. And then that last hole, which used to be the 10th, which is now, and of course, it's the 9th, and now it's the 18th. It's changed number. But that one right up to the clubhouse is going to be a great finishing hole, a par 5. So I think we've got a great canvas here to have a great tournament, a great field to have a great tournament, and lots of celebrities and business people here from around the world, and some very, very successful business people. So there's a great melting pot of people here, and hopefully, we can showcase Donegal and all have a bit of fun doing it.
Yeah. What's the competition going to be like from Friday to Sunday?
oh, it's tough. Don't underestimate these guys. They can still play, you know. Ian Woosnam is here, and I'll tell you what, he can hit the ball, you know, still unbelievably well. Just look at his ball flight and how he hits it. And, you know, Thomas Bjorn as well, too, another ex-Ryder Cup captain, again, super player, just turned 50. So, you know, these guys can really play. And I'm expecting a winning score, depending on the weather, of course, but, you know, somewhere between 7 under and 10 under par for three rounds. That's kind of what we're aiming for. You know, we're not aiming to be the most difficult tournament here. We are going to move a few tee boxes up, depending on the weather conditions. And all in all, it should be a really good test for these players. Well, I know it's going to be a great test for the players, and it's a question of who's going to come out on top.
What sort of test is it going to be for you?
Oh, God. I mean, I realise now, having spent the last 3 days kind of welcoming people and hosting, why I didn't play when I hosted the Irish Open a few years ago down in La Hinch. It's, you know, it's a full-time job just hosting people and making sure everybody have what they need. And that means a lot. I know myself, when I used to go to a tournament and somebody would be hosting, that the fact that they would go out of their way to welcome you and, you know, say anything you need and, you know, just something like that. It means a lot as a player. And so that's what I've tried to do. So my golf is not great, to be honest. It's all right. And I'll battle and I'll fight and I'll compete, but I don't know if there's enough quality there for me to be at the top of that leaderboard.
You never know. This rain could play into your hands, so it could fall. The likes of Thomas LeVay, I'm just looking, Thomas LeVay, Paul Lawrie, Mauricio Molina and Brendan McGovern were all top 10 in the last event in Thornbury. They have a bit of practice done coming here, so they do.
Yeah, Thornbury was a link style course as well too, you know, so you know, it's not too dissimilar conditions to what we have here. We also had some squally showers over there in Formby, so they're used to the weather as well. You know, Molina has travelled a long way to be here. For one, a few of the Argentinians are here as well. They've come a long way to be here. I see Michael Long from New Zealand has come all the way to be here. So we do have an international aspect here. And it's one of the reasons why we've had to have such strict protocols around this event, is the fact that it is an international field, an international event. So the government, as a result, are treating it very differently than they would have, say, Croke Park at the weekend, where you had, you know, whatever, 20, 30,000 people at the game. They see this as an international event, so as a result, the restrictions are a lot tighter.
And it's a bit of a dry run for next year, is that correct? You hope to have it back here?
Well, you used the term dry run. I hope you're right. It is dry. Yeah. But yes, we're going to go to a completely different level next year on this COVID-dependent and restrictions-dependent. You know, I really want to do something similar, obviously not on the scale, but something similar to what we did down in La Hinch, which is create a festival and then put golf in the middle of it. And I think here, with the proximity to Downing's down the road, with the quality of the hotel we have here in Rosapenna, and, you know, put on music in the evening times, you know, have street vendors, have the crack going on, having one-way system, pedestrian only, you know, and thousands of people. That's the plan. That's what we did in La Hinch. That's what we had planned here. I'd been here a number of times before before COVID hit. I'd been visiting Rosapenna with the County Council, who've been brilliant, by the way, absolutely fabulous in the support of everything we're doing here. But of course, now COVID has hit, we've had to scale everything back to the bare bones this week. But it's a bit of a trial run. I hope it's a dry run. I hope you're right.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Paul, I know you've got a busy weekend ahead of you. Many thanks for joining us, and we wish you every bit of luck with the Irish Legends this weekend here, the wonderful Rosapenna.
It's a pleasure to be here. Hopefully we can do the place justice, and it's a place that warms my heart every time I drive over that border and come in here. It really is something special. And whether good or whether not, we're going to have a great time and make the most of it.
Good stuff. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
That's the host of the Irish Legends here at Rosapenna, Paul McGinley. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, we'll have more here from Rosapenna and more from the Irish Legends. And welcome back to our Score programme. We are live here at the Rosapenna Hotel and Golf Resort at the end of Pro-Am Day of the Irish Legends, which has been hosted by Paul McGinley. We had a good day's crack and a good day's fun of golf with the celebrities mixing along with the professionals. The proper action, of course, gets underway early tomorrow morning. And due to the rain that they're forecasting tomorrow afternoon, the Legends Tour have decided to go with a 2-tee start. So they'll be starting on the 1st and the 10th tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Let's get some more reaction now from the Pro-Am and a couple of Donegal men. I've been speaking to Cahirlach of Donegal County Council, Jack Murray, but first of all, Donegal GA captain Michael Murphy, who was also involved today.
Big old captain, Michael Murphy, you're just off the 18th. How was your round in the Pro-Am here?
Very enjoyable now. Lovely to get out. I think the experience and everything and the course and everything was brilliant. I don't think my golf probably lived up to the overall experience, but some good holes, some not so good, but I just think brilliant. It's brilliant to have to see so many kind of in our own backyard here in Donegal and have a fantastic facility. I think like for us a pennant to be able to hold something like this is brilliant, you know.
What were the good holes for you today?
The last probably. Not too bad, we always say that. I think the last will always bring us back. I think it was sporadic enough. It took me a while to get going. I think at the start I hadn't played much golf in a good few months. But Philip Alton was our pro now, he was a gent. He helped alongside and we had a good crew and it was very enjoyable now. Really, really brilliant day now.
Yeah. Did you get to mix it with any other celebrities or pros or?
There was a couple coming behind us there. Joe Cannon there was coming behind us. He was going good and I think just we managed to see everyone just after seeing Robbie Fowler there is a hero of mine when I was growing up. Fantastic to see him here in Donegal. I got to see Jim Gavin and see plenty of others. Anthony Nash was about there and Paul McGinley himself there. It was brilliant. So just starstruck, as I say, anybody you're in around asking for photos and things like that. So it's good to do, you know.
Yeah. A couple of these hurlers were hitting okay today as well. Joe Kenning, I believe, had a good round.
Hitting some big balls now. They were able to strike it. There's a couple of times they were hot on their heels there going down the fairway. They were driving off, but they had that massive, as I suppose there's a bit of a crossover there maybe between sports too, but likewise anybody, you know, say once a competitive nature goes in and there's a wee bit of a competitive nature, everybody's mad to try and do their best, you know.
Yeah, it's good to get in and get a wee break away from the bigger white ball, is it?
A wee bit, just a different thing, a different bit of scenery, and just to see, I suppose, just different people from different codes of sport and just get a wee opportunity maybe to speak to them for 5 minutes and that. And I think from my point of view I'm starstruck most of the time seeing them. It's just good to see them and that, you know.
Yeah. What about your caddy today? He's walking up beside us here.
That's right, Barry McBride here in the caddy from Downing. He had local course knowledge, as we put it. He was brilliant with. I said, would you come down and mind pushing it along? So he did. And I think at one stage I was going to trade the clubs with him, and see if he'd want to tuck it up himself, you know.
Listen, Michael, I hope you enjoyed your day. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Ashton. Good man.
Okay, here, look, of Donegal County Council, Jack Murray. Here we are, Rossapenna. We're looking down the 18th hole. That's a spectacular view from up at the back of the golf course here. How has the Pro-Am been for you? Did you enjoy your day?
It's been absolutely fantastic. Look, I've played this course before, but when you come back again, look, I'll never fail to take your breath away. And I think it's another great advertisement for Donegal and really puts Donegal on the map. When you think of how Ballyliffin showed the world what golf in Donegal's like, Rossapenna's just done it again, and it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and it was an easy decision for the council and for Donegal Tourism and the Wild Atlantic Way, all the groups, all the parties to get behind this.
Absolutely, it's an easy sell. Look, Donegal, I think, has only recently been discovered as a top class or world class golfing destination. The more we can put this out, the more TV cameras we can bring to Donegal to show what we have to offer. That can only be a positive, and Donegal County Council rightly has fully thrown their weight behind this.
Yeah, and when you hear like Paul McGinley speak and some of these senior professionals here and particularly other golfers from around the country, the way they're talking about Donegal, there's a sort of belief here now that this county golf-wise, particularly what we've seen that went on with Port New as well, that it's going to explode for the golfers and for tourism in the coming years. That's the feeling of all these people who are sort of in the know of the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, like, the likes of Rossapenna and Ballyliffin, they're huge golf clubs. Ballyliffin is 36 holes, Rossapenna is 54 holes, but Donegal is even much more than that. So he looks at Portsallan, Northwest Golf Club, all around this county, Merva. Fantastic top-class golf courses. We just need to get people here to see it, and then they'll be telling everybody around the world how good they are.
Yeah. What about your golf today? What sort of round did you have?
As it's sitting, we're in the prizes, and that was absolutely nothing to do with me. It was only two scores per hole, and lucky enough, Jim Gavin and James Kingston, the pro and the celebrity, carried us through it. But hopefully I'll be getting some silverware by default here.
Yeah. Jim Gavin's a good golfer. Listen, he managed Dublin to 6 All-Irelands and he's retired now. It could be a different game for him.
And he also managed to get an eagle there on the sixth hole too. He's a top-class golfer too. Like, so lucky enough I managed to fall into that group, and if I win something, by God, it wasn't mind doing, they got to say.
Yeah. What's it like mixing with these celebrities here? We spoke to Robbie Fowler, Alan Hansen, so there's a bit of a Liverpool theme in one sort of way, but you've also got the actors here. You've the former Ryder Cup man, Thomas Bjorn's here. What's it been like out there in the course of those people?
It's brilliant. I say I think I was a bit nervous coming in here thinking they'll be all here, but they're all very, very down to earth, I have to say. And I think everybody's very happy to be here. They're all enjoying it. And again, that's Ross O'Penna's, I think, put them at ease, and because they're just so happy to be in such a beautiful resort.
Yeah. Just finally, is there a bit of jealousy maybe amongst your colleagues in Lifford that you were the guy that got to come here and spend the day in Ross O'Penna?
More divisive. That'd be fair. There was spaces offered out to the few. There was, I think, Councillor Paul Canning, and as Liam Blaney played this morning as well. Yeah. So, I say they'd all like to be here at the Celebrity Open, but that here was open to everybody too.
Listen, thanks for talking to us. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks very much, Ashley.
He didn't do too bad today, Cahirlo Jack Murray. He finished up in a tie for third in the Celebrity team alongside Jim Kingston, Jim Gavin, and Joseph Carlin. Let's hear now from one of the celebrities, former Liverpool great Robbie Fowler was here. He had a good round in Thornbury last week in the Legends in England. He's playing the Irish Legends today. There was a slight bit of confusion over his score. If we look at the individual scoring, the former Liverpool striker actually finished in sixth position on 36 points. But as he came down the 18th, on the scoreboard at the 18th, it was saying 44 points. And it looked like nobody was going to catch him. So everybody in the general area were off the thinking that Robbie Fowler was going to take the individual celebrity award. But he had a different idea when we spoke to him when he came off the course. Robbie Fowler, here we are at the end of your round in the Pro-Am at the Irish Legends. We're looking at the leaderboard here. You're topping it on 44 points, and yeah, you seem a bit surprised with it.
No, I am, to be fair. I think after mistakes, got to be, because I played all right. Not unbelievable, but just okay. Good start, good finish. Typical of me, good finish, you know. But yeah, a little bit indifferent in the middle, so I don't know, I'll check it. But hey, listen, I'll take it.
So what did you make of the course?
I thought the course was brilliant. I'm quite lucky, because you obviously with the EU Legends and the Irish Legends and the various tournaments, you're always playing at great courses. And you know, I've seen the pictures, you know, I've read all about it. And when you can, I don't think nothing prepares for when you're actually playing. It's a lovely course, fantastic. You know, the hospitality has been brilliant as well. I mean, it's a well-run competition, and the course absolutely, you know, makes that as well.
Yeah. What sort of holes did you like out there today?
The ones I played well on. you know what? I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any bad holes, in all honesty. I mean, we're walking up 16, 17, 18. I think that obviously it's quite long, you know, or feels quite long. I don't know whether it's because it's been a long round, but yeah, I mean, I just think all of it, you know, I wouldn't really pinpoint any particular hole. I just think it's a fantastic golf course. And I mean, we know, I think if you're straight and you keep the ball straight, you've got half a chance. But if you, like anything, if you half a yard, 5 yards off, then, you know, good golf courses punish you.
Yeah, you were in Thornbury last week. Do you like the links courses, do you?
I do, yeah. I'm a member at Wallasey, which is a links course as well, which is obviously right near Royal Liverpool, so I do prefer links as opposed to Parkland. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm not as good as obviously the pros, and I mean, they come out and they make the game look so easy. I mean,
you're going all right. You're playing off six,
yeah,
but
well, yeah. But I mean, I have to fight for everything, so it's you know, and obviously various injuries with football. My hips are sore, my back's are sore. So I mean, I God knows how the golfers play 4 or 5 games a week. You know, obviously the pro-ams as well, because I mean, I've played 18 holes there. I'm in bits.
What's so appealing about these pro-ams and these events like Thornbury last week, and now you're here in Ireland at Ross O'Penna and Donegal? They're events that you like to take part in, so there.
Yeah, no, I do. I think it's we're getting a chance, you know, up close personal with the pros, watching how they strike the ball, watching how they pull, watching everything, you know, fundamentally what is right in the game that we're always trying to achieve. So you know, you're playing at, you know, great courses as well, so what's not to like?
Yeah. But have you been in Donegal before?
I think I have, but I mean I've been everywhere, so I mean, I'd be amazed if I haven't been here. Right. Honestly, I can't remember, but I must have done. Yeah. I must have done.
Yeah. What's next for you? What's your next golf competition?
I think it's the BMW. I think it's at Wentworth. Yeah. So yeah, only picked the good ones, you know.
Yeah. Listen, we have to talk about Liverpool before we let you go. What are you going to make of the season ahead? So obviously, they have to bounce back from last year. Are City going to be hard to catch this time around again?
Well, City are the one to catch. Admittedly, they didn't have a great start. Obviously, we're getting beat by Tottenham, but I think Liverpool Liverpool are Liverpool. The players that they've got are fantastic. I think the first 11 are as good as anyone, but that's keeping that first 11 fit. You know, we've seen it last year, you know, obviously with Van Dijk, you know, Matip, yeah. Gomez, three massively important players. Okay, did three of them can't play together, but I think if Liverpool have a good run with no injuries, then I think Liverpool are more than a match for anyone. City are the one to beat. I think we all know that. I think squad wise, I think they're probably the pinnacle. Liverpool's squad probably lacks a little bit in depth. You know, good players, very good players, but maybe not the players to, you know, to take you to that. They'll come in and obviously do a great job, but it is one of them. I think
we're a bit critical of Liverpool that Jürgen didn't add more players during the transfer window. Is that a bit unfair on him?
Of course it is. I think, you know, I think what you've got to remember now, I think we're on the, well, I mean, whether we're in the middle or at the end of this pandemic, where lots of clubs have struggled, Liverpool have struggled. You know, let's not forget they've signed lots of players internally as well. You know, players who are pivotal in taking the club forward are there for a longer term now. So, of course, we're all fans. You know, we're all Liverpool fans, and we all want to see players signed. But the transfer window's not over yet, so yeah. I would be amazed if no one comes in.
Okay, let's go back to the golf. There's a bit of a Liverpool theme around here today because Ronnie Whelan's on the course. Alan Hansen's there as well. Who's the better golfer between you three at the minute? I'll take it to you, because you're still top of the leaderboard.
I'm going to go in and get it checked. To be honest, Alan Hansen's brilliant. I mean, we're quite blessed. Actually, we've got some great courses up by where we live. You know. Liverpool, we've got obviously Roy Liverpool, Wallasey, you know, yesterday, Birkdale, Hillside, Formby, you know, all fantastic courses. So I think we're all quite lucky. Alan Hansen is, I think he's a member at Hillside or Birkdale. No, he might be Birkdale actually. He's gone, I think he's gone all posh on us. So he's probably the pick, or he was the pick, but I think he's obviously getting a bit old and his knees are starting to struggle now. But I think if I'm picking anyone, I think we've got to go for Sir King.
Right.
And for those who don't know who Sir King is, then it's obviously Sir Kenneth.
Yeah.
Sir Kenneth of Dalglish. He's brilliant. He's brilliant at everything, as you can imagine.
Yep. Okay, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Delighted to have you here in Donegal. I think that scoreboard's right, but I think you've won this, Robbie. So.
I'm going in to check it. Honestly, I can't see it in all fairness. Okay. But listen, don't knock it. Don't knock it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Robbie.
Cheers, fella. Thank you.
Robbie Fowler speaking to us as he came off the 18th. You can hear the wind in the background coming up the 18th in the Old Tom Morris course. And Robbie was right. We were wrong. He got the scoreboard corrected. He finished up on 36 points, so he did. But good guy, Robbie Fowler. Good to talk to him as he came off here, one of the celebrities involved. But what we're going to do now is hear from the man that won it. During this interview with Dennis Kerwin, it looked like he was going to top the individual celebrity board. Jim Gavin, of course, is the man from Dublin who has led Dublin. He was in that golden era of Dublin football, leading them to 6 All-Ireland titles in a row, and then he stepped away. We'll get his thoughts now on where Dublin are at the moment. We'll also talk about golf and his trip here and his time in Donegal earlier today. Not so long ago, about an hour ago, we actually spoke with Dennis Kerwin.
Now, delighted to be joined by Jim Gavin, former Dublin manager. And Jim, you're leader in the clubhouse at the moment, a position you're familiar with, number one spot. But it's nice to have shown a bit of prowess with a ball of a smaller variety.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I haven't got up much recently, but I was 10 over, would you believe, turning, and I had 3 under for the back nine. So, or 3 over for the back nine, should I say. So I think we'll run out and take a photograph, because I hear Robbie Fowler is going to card a good score. So, but yeah, it's really enjoyable up here and up in Roskilde Peninsula, in Rosapenna Golf Club. Beautiful location. Paul McGinley spoke often about the superb golf that's up in Donegal, and I'm absolutely blown away by the scenery overlooking Sheephaven Bay, but just the facilities, the people obviously are fantastic here in Donegal, and it's been a great day, and it's great to promote locally on this island the golf course that we have. It's a little bit a little secret gem, I'd say, and hopefully we'll get more of the country, more people from probably Dublin traveling up here, because It's a little secret.
Yeah, there's quite a few courses have been developed around the area. I mean, St. Patrick's has just been developed up the road. You have a couple of lovely courses here. Yeah. There's some nice courses near in Portnew. And this type of area hasn't generally been well known for a golfing destination, but certainly it has the courses to attract the crowds. There's no question or doubt about that, Jim.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And the local man, Johnny Martin, was doing caddy for us. And Johnny was telling me that it's 50 miles shorter from Dublin to the Roskilde Peninsula than it is getting to Tralee. So from people travelling from the east coast, primarily from Dublin, you know, it's Donegal is closer. We would probably traditionally head down to Kerry, so for golf, but I'll certainly be going back and talking about my great time up here.
You've obviously been very busy over a long number of years, both in terms of your, you know, your professional life and indeed your sporting life. So you probably haven't got much of a chance to play golf. But I'm sure since, you know, the pressure came off a little bit last year, Jim, you probably have managed to get out a bit more, have you?
I have, yeah. I've got a little bit more, yeah. I played quite a bit growing up in a local club in Clondalkin, Doon's Cross. I joined the cadet school, and then obviously with the football, I haven't played much. But over the last number of months, yeah, getting out, my dad, Jimmy, he's 86, he still beat me in the golf, so he's great to see that. And spending time with him and has been fantastic.
And have you enjoyed the break since? I mean, the level of commitment that's involved in managing a senior county team is massive, Jim, apart from, you know, the commitment you have to family and indeed to your own professional life. So I'm sure you must have been, in some ways, a little bit relieved that you managed to get a little bit more free time for yourself.
Yeah, but it's a choice that you make, you know. I did it for 12 consecutive years. I had five with the Dublin 21 team. We had a great game against Donegal back in 2010. That game could have went either way. Obviously seven with the seniors. I mean, they were great times, great memories. But, you know, to be able to do it, I had fantastic family support during back home. And like, when I started off, my daughter was 1.5, and when I finished that kind of cycle with Dublin over 12 years, she was obviously 13.5. So getting back to spend time with them was an important part of my decision. And you know, I've a career in aviation, a professional career to look after as well. And then probably the main drive was trying to ensure that team had the opportunity to grow again, because, you know, listened to the same voice for 7 years. For some of the guys, probably 12, because I had quite a number of them would have started my 21 journey back in 2008. So it was a long time with them, but they're great men and great to see them despite being coming out the wrong side of the game last week. To see their commitment and drive is just phenomenal. As you say, it's a huge lifestyle choice, and I have just nothing but admiration for GA players, because I've seen the pro sport and we know the rewards, the financial rewards that they get. But he's looked like the likes of Michael Murphy here, drove through Strabane and Letterkenny the way up there, to see Michael's shop in Letterkenny, and I'm sure the Donegal people support him in that. But to see a guy like him, you know, having to go out there, forge his own business, and I know he was telling me he's involved now in Letterkenny IT, which is great for him, but great for Letterkenny IT as head of sport. So wishing the best of success in that. But, you know, we I've nothing but fond memories of my time.
And as you say yourself, Jim, like, you know, nobody knows better the amount of commitment that's involved in terms of being a senior county player and the levels of sacrifice that you have to make. But what Dublin achieved, 8 All-Irelands in a decade, in 10 years,
yeah.
6 in a row, 5 in a row under your tenure. I mean, that is just extraordinary. And, you know, nothing lasts forever. Empires fall. You know, Dublin are far from, you know, they will undoubtedly be back. But people can only look back on those 10 years and indeed the last 6 with nothing but height of admiration for everybody involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And credit needs to go to the clubs, the network of clubs. I think there was an average, you know, every season we would look at the amount of clubs that were involved with developing players in the squad, and I think the average was 22, 23. So there is a great club network, and it's even great to see up here. The county final was obviously played last weekend, went to a draw, penalties afterwards, and it was all the talk last night on the dinner table. So I mean, it's such a big part of our lives, but in Dublin as well, it's a huge part of of everyone's life, and yeah, they were beaten. I don't think we never looked at it like an empire. You know, the guys were they're a very humble group. And they enjoy like the Donegals, but they'd enjoy representing, you know, their parishes and whatnot. So that's a big part of it. But there's a great kick about playing inter-county football, and whether they win, lose, or draw, and all credit to Mayo for last week, they deserve to win. You've got to earn your victories, and they earned it, and best of luck to them in the final.
They've had so many close shaves with Dublin in the past. I suppose if anybody deserved to take Dublin down, it was Mayo, Jim. But it was an extraordinary game. I mean, Dublin played so well in the first half, and you know, it was extraordinary the way Mayo just fought back, and how Dublin ultimately, you know, 4 points in 55 minutes. It was most unlike Dublin.
Well, yes, I don't think it's about taking any team down. It's about, you know, semi-finals are there to be won, and that's just the fact of it. So, you know, Mayo did what they had to do. If they scored 3 points in a half in the Ireland final, you know, they will find it difficult to win the game, and I'm sure they will know that as acutely aware of that. But they did what they had to do, and you know, all credit to them, they stuck in there, which is, you know, key part of any winning side. Dublin had their chances, didn't take them. I'm sure the Dublin lads are disappointed with how that went, particularly as you said, they produced a very polished first half, but as I said, all credit to Mayo for rallying hard, and they looked really good in extra time. They were very strong, and as Desi said, Desi Farrell said, they were worthy winners in the end.
That is All-Ireland winning manager with Dublin, Jim Gavin, who, of course, was here today, Pro-Am Day at Rosapenna Hotel and Golf Resort on the opening day of action of the Irish legend. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking soccer with Keith Cowan from Harps, of course, back at Finn Park on Friday night, taking on St. Pat's. And Derry City are off to play Sligo Rovers on Saturday. And you're welcome back to the Score programme tonight on Highland. We are live at Rosapenna for the Irish Legends event, of course, which started today with the Pro-Am. But we're going to move on now to soccer. Shamrock Rovers have been beaten 4-2 by Flora Tallinn in the first leg of the Europa Conference League playoff. Graham Burke and Liam Scales scored the goals for Stephen Bradley's side in Estonia. The sides will meet in the second leg in Tala next week. Well, in this week's League of Ireland preview, Keith Cowan runs his eye over the weekend's games. Fin Harps are back at Finn Park tomorrow night, Friday, taking on title chasing St. Patrick's Athletic, while Derry City head to the showgrounds to play Sligo Rovers on Saturday. Jeremy Doherty spoke with a former Harps captain ahead of the games this week.
Alright, Keith Cowan, a look ahead at another busy and important weekend in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Games on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, a North West derby to look forward to. Derry City going to Sligo Rovers, two teams in different form to a fair degree. Derry City have won 3 on the bounce. Sligo Rovers have lost their last 6 games in all competitions, so they really could do with a good result in this one.
Massive contrast there, I suppose, Jeremy, in terms of how both teams are going. As you mentioned there, like, Sligo really struggling. Lost the last 6 games, I think 3rd of July, to go back as far as to get their last win. You know, and that was against bottom side Longford. So, you know, a side that had been showing so much promise, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, they really picked up, started so well. And, you know, they'll be, I suppose, that they were maybe thinking that the derby game against Harps 2 weeks ago would have been, you know, that place to bounce back. You know, we saw that Harps dealt with them really well, and, you know, played really well in the game, and very much deserved their win. They're still in third position. They're still in a good spot in the league. They have, you know, obviously Derry. We talk about Derry now going really well. Jimmy McGonigal coming in for them. You know, this new signing from Crusaders hit the ground running, 2 goals already. You know, the winner last week against Dundalk. So Derry very much in a good place going into this. Sligo will be looking for this one. You know, another opportunity with the derby to maybe try and pick up some points and get their season back on track.
Yeah, and Derry have already won at this venue, haven't they? That was Rory Higgins' first game in charge, or around the start of his introduction to management at the Brandywell. That was a good result, and it almost kick-started Derry's season.
Very much. I think at the time we were kind of surprised by that, because Sligo had been going so well, and the last time Derry went down there, you know, nobody really gave them much hope. But you know, it's just showing what he's brought to that Derry squad. You know, he's galvanised them. You know, they all seem that they're in together. You know, a young enough squad, but then you know, some you got the experience of Lafferty as well there, who's been chipping in with a few goals the last few weeks. So now they seem to have a real good mix there at the minute, and you know. As, you know, once Patching left, and when Patching went back to Dundalk, we were kind of thinking, you know, where are these goals going to come from? But as I mentioned, Jim McGonagall coming in there, you know, we talk about Roland Boyce, you know, we mentioned him quite a lot because of the great form that he's showing. You know, he's on 5 and 6 goals. You talk about Dan Lafferty there on 4 or 5 goals. So, you know, they're chipping at the back, but now obviously with McGonagall there, you know, they'll be looking to him with the departure of Parkhouse to Ballymena. You know, he'll be their main man going forward.
And okay, Derry have played a couple of games more than the sides above them, certainly Bowes and Sligo Rovers, I know, Keith, but I mean, all of a sudden they find themselves right up there, and if they keep going the way they are, you know, they've got to be challenging for a European place.
Yeah, you know, Derry find themselves in fifth spot at the moment, and you know, all the talk about you know, the players that might be coming in, you know, a couple of the Dundalk lads, there was talk of Mickey Duffy maybe signing next year. There was talk of Patrick McElhaney is committed his future there next year. So that has almost lifted the whole squad, that maybe, you know, my position mightn't be guaranteed for next year. So it definitely has took them to another level, and they have to be looking up. You know, they see, yes, Sligo have 2 games in hand of them because of their European stuff. But no, I think Derry at the minute are in a great place, and they'll only be looking up to maybe try and clinch one of those European spots.
When we last spoke, Keith, Harps were badly in need of a good result. Since then, they've won away to Sligo Rovers and recorded a big win at Longford Town. 2 very important results. All of a sudden, they're back on the right road.
It's funny, you know, what the difference 2 weeks can make. You know, they were looking over their shoulder massively, or I think maybe looking above at Waterford there for a time before that Sligo game, as Waterford had went and beat, you know, had a massive result against Bohemians 2 weeks ago. With those back-to-back wins, they find themselves a couple of points ahead, and you know, that can be huge within the squad. Suddenly everybody's got a spring in their step, suddenly everybody can't wait to get the training, suddenly, you know, there's massive optimism going into games. It was a huge result last week down in Longford, one that they really needed to get, and you know, it was good to see, you know, 3 different names on the score sheet. You know, goals within the side is going to bring more confidence as well. So yeah, within a few things, you know, those back-to-back wins, absolutely massive perhaps.
Yeah, but on Friday night St Pat's come to town, Keith, and they are always a difficult opponent for Harps. They've beaten Harps comfortably this season. They've won in Ballybuffet as well, and they will go into this one as firm favourites, even though Harps seem to be, you know, turning things around.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, it's kind of like the Pats game is always a difficult game, no matter home or away. You know, we know the type of players that they have. You know, you have Forrester, you have Benson. You know, you go through the side, they've got league winners, they've got, you know, some of the best young players in the country and within the squad. They'll be looking to come to Ballybuffet, and you know, it'll be another, they'll be marking it down as 3 points, and it'll be a move on. But you know, we see Harps how they have played in the last few weeks. You know, they've shown real confidence, you know, especially if things haven't went well in the first half, second half, especially it was a couple of weeks back down in Dundalk. They played Dundalk off the park in the second half. Dundalk were stuck in their own half, couldn't get out. So, you know, the ability's there with the squad. The players are good enough. The injection of the new lads coming in, Musto and Hawkins, you know, they've done really well. Musto contributed to a goal last week as well. So, you know, I think there'll be confidence within the squad. You know, we seen Ryan Rainey come in last week and, you know, scoring a great goal as well. So hopefully he'll get more minutes. To talk within the squad is that, you know, he's a great player. He's some of the, you know, they rate him really highly. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of him. So, you know, we've seen Sean Boyd coming in last week and getting a goal, and he scored in the cup game against Fairview a few weeks back as well. So hopefully those lads can kick on now, and you know, there'll be a quiet confidence within the Harps changing room, you know, especially with those back-to-back results. And I think, you know, they'll be looking at this game as, you know what, if we're right, if we don't make any mistakes, because I think they have been architects of their own downfall, some of the goals that they have conceded. but with Webster coming back in there after his injuries and Siddiqui, you know, doing really well. So, you know, I think they'll be okay if they're right and if they're ready to go for Saturday night.
Yeah, and haven't conceded goals either in those last two games, Keith, which is also a big plus, you know. And you know, goal difference come the end of the season, okay, there's a fair while to go yet, but they're in a better position than Waterford and Longford below them in terms of their goal scoring average. So that's another plus point.
Definitely, you know, and clean sheets, you know, especially for defence and for keepers, you know, will bring confidence. We looked at the Sligo game 2 weeks ago. You know, the save from Mark Anthony McGinley was a brilliant save. I think you're talking about save of the season. You know, totally instinctive, threw himself where the ball could have went. You know, you've seen the Sligo players with their arms in the air, they thought was in the back of the net, as did we all, and he's touched it around the post. So, no, absolutely massive for him, I suppose. In contrast of him being down there at the start of the season, it was him that contributed to the 1-0 defeat with you know, getting caught on the ball and the goal being scored because of that. So no, I think all those factors, you know, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets, you know, confidence will be high. And I suppose if there's any time to try and kick on, your target has to be the team above you. So if they can focus on that, they're now Dundalk. You know, we know they have games in hand, but they have to be looking as it, you know, as a realistic target that's, you know, seventh or maybe sixth even, you know, is attainable by the end of the season.
And Friday night's game is also going to be one of these trial fixtures, Keith, where more supporters are going to be allowed into the ground. So Harps will have the advantage of a big home support again on Friday night. So you just never know.
Absolutely, you know, they, you know, having Finn Park, you know, with the home support there, and you know, not being able to get to these games, it's an absolutely huge contribution to what could be a really positive night for Harps. But if the fans are going, we have to encourage them. You have to be loud. You have to try and become a part of the game and try and make it difficult for the travelling squad. You know, like, there's nothing better sometimes than the roar, like at Finn Park when a goal goes in or when something happens, or, you know, so it'll be great for the players to, you know, to have that there and to have, you know, a few more people at the game cheering them on. So hopefully it'll could be the deciding factor.
That is Keith Cowan, former Finn Harps captain, speaking to Jeremy Doherty ahead of the weekend's games involving the North West sides. By the way, there's more from Keith on the rest of the games being played in the Premier Division this coming weekend, available in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Just one other note of soccer. As we know, last weekend, the Donegal Junior Football League got up and running with the opening round of games. It's the turn of Inishowen this weekend. There's 2 days of fixtures, starting tomorrow, Friday, and then again on Sunday. Tomorrow evening, the group stages of the Clubman Church League Cup sees Buncrana Hearts against Carn FC. Clonmany Shamrocks play Aya, Cockhill take on Ellis Celtic. And in the Charlie O'Donnell group stages, it's Greencastle Reserves against Glengad Reserves. Glenelly Colts will play Aya Reserves, and Dun reunited up against Quigley's Point Swift. So the new season in Inishowen set to get underway as well. And next weekend, we're going to see the return of the Ulster Senior League with League Cup matches too. Let's go to Gaelic games. The Donegal Senior Ladies will look to end their season with silverware this coming Saturday when they take on Armagh in the Ulster Final at Haley Park in Omagh. That's a game we'll have live for you on Saturday on air across the North West and online at highlandradio.com. Both sides go into the game having lost at the quarter-final stage in the All-Ireland Series. Donegal are unbeaten in Ulster since 2018, having won 3 in a row provincial titles. But due to COVID, they are not part of the Ulster Championship in 2020. Donegal have had the upper hand against the Orchard Ladies, having beaten them on their last 3 championship meetings. Donegal manager is Maxie Curran, and he feels Saturday's clash is the makings of a great game and one he wants to be on the right side of the result.
If you don't win the All-Ireland, the season ends on a downer, and funny, that's not going to be the case. And ironically, we would have pushed hard for this competition to be played prior to the All-Ireland. We felt it would have been great preparation. But I suppose maybe in a way now it's a godsend, because it is going to be a nice opportunity to finish off in a final. And, you know, we have a good record in the Ulster Championship of late. They won the first one in 2015 and they lost the semi-final in 2016. We haven't lost a game in the provincial competition since that. So it's a competition with a good record, and we're looking forward to Saturday now.
Yeah. What's it been like in the camp then with the girls after that defeat in the All-Ireland Series? Because defeats are always hard to take, particularly at that level. And you lose to a side who have been the dominant force in ladies football for the last number of years. Was it easy to get them refocused for this one, Maxa?
Look, it's always great to have another game to look to. After a defeat like that last year, we had the Waterford game, which was a dead rubber and really meant nothing. And you know, the Gaels gave a great account of themselves, not because they won at the end of the season and high, and there was nothing at the end of it. At least this year, if they can pull a performance out of the bag at the weekend, you know, there's a chance they'll have an Ulster title and, you know, a fifth Ulster medal for a lot of them, which is no mean feat. So it has been nice to have that to focus on. Look, it doesn't make the disappointment any less. You know, there's an awful lot of people, you know, heartbroken after the Dublin game. You know, we knew we had a great shout of taking Dublin on the day. You know, we feel we're as well fixed as anybody to take Dublin, just about whatever it is about the style of play we have. They seem to struggle with us more than most. So that was disappointing, you know. But look, it is what it is, and that's football and that's sport and life, isn't it? And you just have to, you know, roll the punches and pick yourself up and dust yourself off and go again. And I think we are quite fortunate to have an Ulster final to look forward to at the weekend.
What kind of game are you expecting at the weekend? What do you make of Armagh and the way they've been playing football this year, Maxi?
Look, Armagh got to an All-Ireland semi-final last year, and you know, they put it up to Dublin for a good half an hour of that game. You know, with Amy Mackin, they probably have one of the best forwards in the country, definitely probably the most sought after forward in the country anyway. If there was a transfer market, everybody would be looking for. Her sister Blaine's a very good player as well, also got an All-Star, the All-Star full back Clodagh McCambridge last year, and then the evergreen Cardin O'Hanlon is in the mix. So listen, they have five or six really, really good players, and you know, they have a long history with Donegal and many a battle going back through the years, so there's no love lost between the two camps. But look, at the end of the day as well, look, they're you know, they'll be playing in Division 2, so you know, they may not have be as battle hardened as what we are in terms of playing against the bigger teams, and you would have to hope that's an advantage for us. But look, typical Ulster team, pretty defensive, you know, get lots of bodies back and run the ball hard, and you know, there's no shortage of confidence in their ranks. You know, they're quite a confident group, and you know, bordering on arrogant. And you know, we feel quite aggrieved the way the whole thing was presented last year. You know, there was very little made of the fact that we couldn't play in the competition, and as far as we're concerned, we're unbeaten in 5 years, and that's the way we look at it, and that's the way we want to stay after the weekend. So look, we're going to come out swinging at the weekend and put the best foot forward, because it's a title we feel that we deserve, and you know, we're up to it, and the quality of player we have, and you know, that what's on the line, I think it's the makings of a great game.
Finally then, Max, and you're probably not going to confirm anything here now with me, but after Saturday, and if Donegal were to lift an Ulster title and you were to come out of the right end of the result, it quite possibly could be the time that maybe some of the older players, the players that have been around the block for a long time, and I don't know, maybe possibly yourself as well, Maxi, that there'll be a bit of thinking to be done after the game.
Yeah, look, it is. You know, we've made no bones about it. You know, I've called this a golden generation a number of times, and you know, we have a number of key players that are the wrong side of 30, and you know, they have given Donegal unbelievable service. And if we are lucky enough to get over the line at the weekend, some of them will have five Ulster medals in their pocket, and you know, some of the greatest footballers ever to come out of Donegal, male and female, have never won one, let alone five. So you know, they'll if any of them do decide to head off into the sunset, you know, they'll go with their heads held high, and they'll know that they've given, you know, Donegal absolutely everything. We hope that doesn't happen. You know, I feel that we're getting closer all the time to the Dublins, and you know, not that you know, we're blaming bad luck or anything. You know, we're very much aware of our own failings against Dublin this year and last year. But you know, had we got the rub of the green, then you know, I think we could be heading for an All-Ireland final. You know, Carla Rowe got player of the match, scored 2-6, his only game she's played this year. She's been injured for every other game, you know, so, you know, that's just, you know, bad luck as well. You know, things like that just seem to go against us. But I do feel the team are growing all the time, and they're getting better, and, you know, the quality of performance from the likes of Niamh Hegarty and Katie, these girls this year has been just, it's been, you know, off the wall, and there's definitely more in the tank. So look, fingers crossed they do decide to give it another go, and they don't hang the boots up at this juncture. But at the same time, you know, there's a number of those girls have played 100 times for Donegal now, as I said, they'll go with their heads held high, but there'll be a lot of people with interest in ladies football in Donegal, hoping that that's not the road they take after the weekend. But look, the 2022 season's a long way away, and there's a really exciting club championship coming in Donegal after this weekend. So, you know, it'll give people a chance to change focus. And then the other thing as well is, you know, it's due to be a split season next year, so it'll even be shorter again. So that might be something that maybe might appeal to the girls if there's enough interest and motivation to stay about for another year, because I do believe they're really, really close, and I don't think it'll take very much for them to get over the line, whoever's at the helm.
That's Donegal ladies manager Maxi Kermawish, Maxi, and has said all the best in that Ulster final this coming weekend. Just finally, one notice looking ahead to tomorrow night, Milford Community Games in conjunction with Milford AC will host a homecoming welcome for Brendan Boyce in Milford tomorrow. Brendan, of course, put on a tremendous performance in the Tokyo Olympics to finish 10th in the men's 50 kilometre walk. The local community would like to acknowledge that performance by welcoming him back to his hometown 2 weeks after his heroic performance in the heat of Sapporo, where the endurance events took place. His family and supporters will meet up with Brendan at the Silver Tassie at 5:30, and then they will be en route, as he is en route, from his home in Cork. So he's coming back from Cork for this event tomorrow, and the cavalcade will then make its way to Milford for an outdoor presentation at the council offices in Milford at around 6 o'clock approximately tomorrow for Brendan Boyce's homecoming. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. You will, of course, be able to listen back to the show shortly. It will be available online at highlandradio.com. Our next sport is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, and we'll be back here live at the Rosapenna Hotel and Golf Resort as we continue with the Irish Legends. The Legends event, of course, tomorrow we'll see the proper competition taking place. It's going to be day one. There's two tees starts, both getting away on the first and the 10th tee at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we're looking forward to the rest of the weekend. Fingers crossed the weather is not going to be as bad as what they're forecasting, and it's going to be kind to the golfers. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning again.